When we enter India's vast spirituality, we will find scriptures who glorify Lord Krishna as the source of all other sources. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vikraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. It means, amongst all those who exert control, Krishna is the supreme Ishvara, and he is so because he is the source of all sources, the cause of all causes. You cannot ask the question, who is the cause of Krishna? But you can ask the question, who is the source of Brahma or Shiva? This question, who is the cause of Krishna, cannot be asked because all questions end at the ultimate cause at Lord Krishna's lotus hand. I remember when I was a young boy, we lived in a villa in Germany, and you would enter our house, and then there would be first a large room which was called the shoe room. Then after the shoe room came the wardrobe room, and then other rooms started, and then you would get into the interior of the house. So once I entered into the first room, the shoe room, and I heard a very unfamiliar sound, something like this. I didn't know what was this, but then I saw from the wardrobe room into the shoe rooms little pieces of wood, they call them domino wood, falling, each one on the other one, and it would make the sound of wood clicking against wood, and then throwing the wood down on the floor. It was a ghostly sound for a young boy, and I had never been able to forget this. What was happening? Well, my brother had chosen to surprise me. He had erected these domino pieces of wood, and he was hiding in some other room in the interior of the house, and he had given the first impetus to the first block of wood, and now they were falling until they came into the room. So this is something like Lord Krishna's universal government. This universe has many government rulers who are like sticks of wood, but they are all moved by the supreme ruler, the supreme Ishvara, Parameshvara, Sri Krishna. Krishna is the mover, and he is not moved by anyone else. I naturally wanted to know who is behind all these little pieces of wood falling on each other, and I arrived at my brother, and there was no one beyond my brother, at least in this example. So in the same way, Lord Krishna is the mover of all movements in this universe, but he has helpers who help him, like Brahma, who takes the ingredients, that is the elements which have been manifested by Lord Krishna, and constructs the universe from it. Krishna's supreme dominion over everything comes to light in a little narrative from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It describes how there was once a demon Vrikasura, who wanted to get a blessing, and with this he went before a fire, a yajnik fire, and he offered parts of his own flesh into the fire. He did so by requesting, "Oh, may Lord Shiva appear before me." So Lord Shiva was not actually willing to appear before this demon. The demon took a finger, threw it into fire. He took a hand, threw it into the fire. And finally he said, "I will cut my own head if you don't appear before me, Lord Shiva." And then Shiva said, all right, Tika. And he appeared and he said, "Why do you perform these blood-filled austerities? What do you want?" Vrikasura said, "I want to have a blessing from you." "Okay, what blessing do you want to have? I give you any blessing as long as you stop this terrible sacrifice where you offer yourself." Vrikasura looked at Shiva and he said, "I want the blessing that whosoever head I touch, this head should fall into 10,000 pieces. It should break into 10,000 pieces." So Krishna, Shiva said, "Tatastu, may you have this blessing." But as soon as he had given this blessing to the demon came charging at him, wanting to try the blessing which he had received, because he had one thing in mind. He wanted to kill Lord Shiva to take possession of his beautiful wife, Gauri. Hare Krishna. Shiva knew that his blessings would work, and he started to run away from this terrible monster, this demon. And he ran everywhere, but Vrikasura was so enthusiastic. He was driven by lust, which was vibrating in every cell of his body, that he got a lot of force, and he ran after Shiva. Finally, Shiva met Lord Vishnu and said, "Can you help me?" Vishnu said, What is the problem?" "This demon, he just received a blessing. If he touch me now on my head will break into 1,000 pieces." "Oh," said Lord Shiva, said Lord Vishnu, "don't give blessings which will bring you into trouble and which will bring other people into trouble. I will help you this time." And Lord Vishnu used his yoga maya potency and turned into a very beautiful, attractive, young brahmachari. Prabhuji, some people want to just look. So if you then use your tremendous influence to give them a seat, they might feel inconvenienced. So please use your enthusiasm with fine discretion. Lord Vishnu now was in the form of a beautiful young brahmachari, and he stopped Vrikasura. "Oh, Vrikasura, shanti, 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 om shanti. Have you seen Lord Shiva? I want to touch his head." The brahmachari said, "I can tell you later where Lord Shiva is hiding, but for now I want you to think, why do you torture your body so much? After all, one's body is the most precious possession. One should care for it nicely. You are totally out of breath." "Yes, but I'm out of breath for a good reason. I have a plan, a very good plan. Lord Vishnu said, I think you want to touch Lord Shiva's head, to break his head into 1,000 pieces. Am I correct? Yes, 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 said Vrikasura. You have received this blessing from Lord Shiva. Yes, 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 yes. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? I want to own his wife, Gauri. Oh, said Lord Vishnu in the guise of a brahmachari. Why do you believe so much in the blessings of someone who lives in a graveyard? Someone who lives in a graveyard is not very reliable. Why do you chase yourself and run so fast? Lord Shiva's blessings may not be true. Why don't you first touch your own head, experiment, make an experiment if Lord Shiva's blessings work, and only when they work, then you can think of killing Shiva. The demon was convinced by the superb logic of this argument. He thought, yes, let me first try it on my head. Then I know that the blessing works. If my head breaks into 1,000 pieces, and then I will continue my chase of Lord Shiva. Otherwise, I will not chase him. So he touched his head, and fully convinced of Lord Vishnu's argument, his head broke into 1,000 pieces. My dear devotees, this is a story which is often told in Srimad Bhagavatam to illustrate that even the powerful Mahadev takes shelter at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. So we as devotees very strongly believe in worshipping exclusively Lord Krishna or Vishnu, but this does not mean that we should disrespect the devatas or the demigods. This is very important. Sometimes fanatical young devotees will, in the name of exclusive devotion to Krishna, offend the devatas. That is not the right attitude. No, we should know these are great personalities, actually great devotees of Lord Krishna, and we should respect them and pay our obeisances to them, knowing well from where they receive their power and their empowerment. Good. This was for me to turn the subject a little bit. I will now get out my glasses. Yes, they are here. To read your questions and answer your questions. May I ask Yugen, do you have or his representative? The question board is there, so I will take your questions now and answer them. As brief and as good as I can, I am looking forward to your very, let me say, deep questions. May I ask you a question before I start? Who do you think in a spiritual gathering is more important? The questioner or the one who gives the answers? A very tricky question. Please think first. Or let me ask it in a more simple way. Is the audience more important or is the speaker more important? Someone said the audience. Are there other opinions? Both. It's a tricky question, and I obviously normally we would think, well, if there's no speaker, there is no gathering. So the speaker is more important. Our devotee in the back. The speaker is most important. The speaker has realized knowledge, and the audience wants to gather knowledge. I would like to answer my question myself. Both are important. But I would like, as a speaker, to concentrate now on my audience. When a devotee has a very deep question, then Krishna will enlighten the speaker to give the correct answer. Krishna will, in other words, work through the speaker if there is a very good question. And I want you to not believe me this only blindly. I would like you to make an experiment. When you next time meet a person who has a very deep question and comes to you, and you then you please pray to Lord Krishna to give you the right knowledge, and you will see how all of a sudden, provided the person is serious, Krishna will work through you by giving you an intelligence and an answer which you can clearly identify as being right, but also as not coming from yourself. So the audience is very important in the sincerity. Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is the first question. Especially in India, there are many temples of demigods. By the way, I recognize the handwriting. This is all with the. So when we go into these temples, how do we behave? Do we pay dandavat pranam? So the devotee says that in India there are so many temples of devatas. How do we behave as devotees of Krishna? How do we respect the devatas? When you enter into a temple of Lord Shiva, you actually see Lord Shiva as Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, the greatest of all demigods. The greatest of all Vaishnavas. You don't see Lord Shiva so much as a demigod as you see him as a Vaishnava, a servant of Lord Krishna. And just like you pay a your respects to a servant of Lord Krishna, Vaishnava, by bowing down, you should bow down to Lord Shiva. In the same way, you can respect all the other devatas as servants of Lord Krishna, and you can pray for a specific boon, a boon which only devotees of Krishna can give, that is to increase your own bhakti. This is how we pray. There is a very powerful prayer which we chant when we go into the Gopeshwara temple where Mahadev is in Vrindavan, worshipped. We say, Vrindavana Vanepate Jayaso Mamole. And so on. It's a long prayer where we say, my dear Lord Shiva, you are the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Please give into my heart the pure love of Radha and Krishna. If we are given food offered to Lord Shiva, the Jyotirlingas or other devatas, do we accept it? If not, then how do we refuse it? Would it be an offense to refuse it? See, mostly the food which is offered to any devata in a temple is offered with the spirit that this devata is God, the Supreme Lord. And we as Vaishnavas would feel it is unchaste to our Ishta Devata Krishna to accept such food. So what we will do is to not offend the worshippers of those devatas. We will say, oh, at the moment I have my fast day, but you can very easily give this food into a piece of paper which is readily available in India, and I will take it with me. And then you take the devata prasadam, which is offered in that concept, and you do not eat it. Someone once asked me a question, that where does God come from? I did not know how to answer. Could you please tell me how to explain or answer this question to this person? Thank you very much. Where does God come from? It depends on how this question is meant. A very simple answer would be, he has his own kingdom, the kingdom of God. That's his home. This kingdom has a name. It is called Vrindavan Dham. It's the kingdom of love, where the Lord engages in loving relationships with his many devotees. And that's his home. That's where he comes from. You can give such an answer. I was once asked another question, and I didn't know how to answer it. Should I tell you the question which I didn't know how to answer? The question was, what is God's work? And I answered, well, he creates the world, he's the creator. Is that good enough as a job description? And the person said, no, I wanted to know, the creation is done one time, but I wanted to know, what does he always do? Then later I read in one Purana the answer. And I will now give you the answer. This is a very deep answer, and you will like it very much, and I think next time you meet someone you will tell him this. There was a king, he was a little arrogant, and he once asked his minister, what is God's work? The minister said, oh no, if I say I don't know, he will dismiss me, he will fire me. So the minister thought, and then he said, my dear majesty, I give you advice on mundane matters. For this question, what is God's work, we have our priests. Ask your chief priest. So the king asked the chief priest to come and asked him the question, what is God's work? The chief priest said, oh Krishna, what to answer to this question? He said, your majesty, give me 1 week time. I will search through all my scriptures and then supply you with a satisfying answer. So after 1 week, he didn't know the answer, and he went outside of the town and was very depressed. He contemplated to run away from the kingdom on that day, because what if he couldn't give the answer? The king was so arrogant, he would fire him. And how would it look like if the chief priest is fired? What would he tell to all the brahmanas? So there was a little cowherd boy who was herding the cows, who was a pupil or disciple of the priest. And he said, you look so depressed, my dear Guru Maharaj. What is it that depresses your heart? The priest said, don't ask me. I have to answer a question which I don't know the answer, and I don't believe you know the answer. What is the question? The priest said, well, maybe he knows the answer. It's Kali Yuga sometimes. So he said, well, the the king's question, which the minister couldn't answer and which I can't answer and which I believe you don't know to answer, is what is God's work? Oh, it's a very simple question and a very easy answer. What? You know the answer? Tell me. No. I will go personally and I will give the answer to the king. Are you sure you know the answer? Yes. Okay. The priest took his pupil, his disciple, went into the court, and there was all the intelligentsia of the whole kingdom ready to receive the answer, what is God's work? So said the king, we gave you 1 week time to give the answer. What is the answer? The priest said, Your Majesty, your question is of a simple nature. My disciple will answer your question. The king said, okay, you better make sure that he knows the answer. So then the cowherd boy was called. He sat down at a seat where our Madhati is sitting. Your good name? Anupadashini. Atmadashi. You know, and the king was sitting here high. So the cowherd boy said, Your Majesty, you have asked me a question. This means you do not know the answer, and it is my desire that the proper protocol is observed in your court. You are, for this question, my disciple, and I'm your teacher, and I should sit higher than you. You should sit lower than me. This is the proper etiquette. If someone asks a question, he must go in a lower position. Ah, said the king. All right. You sit on my throne, but only for as long as you answer my question. Then you get down and you better make sure your answer is correct. So they switched places, and the cowherd boy was sitting in his rags on the throne, clearly enjoying his position, smiling. The king was sitting where Atmadashi is sitting. He said, give me your answer, don't just sit on my throne, please. Well, said the cowherd boy, we just have witnessed what is God's work. He makes the arrogant and proud people go down, and he makes the humble people go up. That is God's work. Now please, my dear devotees, my dear visitors to this festival, think about this answer. Have you not experienced this in your own life? When you are arrogant, you are usually, by some arrangement of Krishna, put into a situation where you again have to become humble. This is Krishna's work, to help us to become humble, to help us to become receptacles or receivers of his mercy, and this only happens when we are humble. I must say, at that time I didn't know the answer to this question, what is God's work, but I found great satisfaction in this answer. So Hare Krishna, I'm actually answering my own question. I should answer your questions. Fourth, Hari Bol. The demigods worship Krishna. Also, so the demigods are servants of the Lord Krishna. Can we worship the demigods because to serve the servants of the Lord is most favorable Thank you. See, worship and respect are two things. When we worship, we give all our attention to the worshipable object. I don't think that any servant would like that he is worshipped before his master. Respect is good, but worship is done to Lord Krishna only. Puja is done to Lord Krishna only. See, the devatas feel also, why am I worshipped? I want that my Lord is worshipped. There was this very great bandit, his name was Chandraya, who was a worshipper of Mother Chandi or Durga, the wife of Lord Shiva. And he was very powerful, so powerful that even the king could not forbid him. Then one day, Durga personally appeared in his dream, and she said, I now will take all your power and influence away from you. You are worshipping me and not my master Sri Krishna. I do not like this. I will send you a ghost which will take possession of you, and you will suffer and suffer and suffer until you place your sinful head at the lotus feet of Narottamdas Thakur, who is the worshipper of Radha and Krishna. And this happened. Chandraya became so mad, he could only roll on the floor, he became emaciated and so on, until Narottamdas was brought there and he placed his head at the feet of this greatest worshipper of Lord Krishna. Yes, we can respect devotees of Krishna, like Chandraya respected Narottam, but our respect should not end. We should also worship, and our worship should go to the master of the devatas. Then there is auspiciousness, and the devatas are most satisfied. It is said that someone who worships Krishna, the devatas go all behind him and empower this person and take care of him. It is an undisputable fact, this is the next question, that Lord Krishna is supreme. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says one should never ignore demigods. Furthermore, would you agree that demigods could be termed as sons of God? Because demigods are like semi-gods. This is my opinion. Yes. This is my opinion. It's not correct. No. The question is it correct? Yes. Yes, you are totally correct. Hare Krishna. This was a very brief answer. I think when something is clear, we should not talk around it. Hare Krishna, the next question. You said that Lord Krishna gives intelligence to those who are serious about listening to a lectural discourse on spiritual matters. Would this also apply if you are listening to a class lecture that is not of a spiritual nature, but of a university lecture? Hare Krishna, here is someone having anxiety about examiners. It is a general fact that if you want to listen, you will hear better. If you don't want to listen, and you show all kinds of unattending behavior, you will not understand so much. But what I was So yes, if a university student is really opening his ears and is somehow in focusing his mind on what is discussed, he will understand the subject better. That's true. But I was talking about something different, which is almost mystical. That is, if you do have a deep spiritual interest, Lord Krishna can even speak through a street sweeper to you. There was this very amazing person who really wanted to become deep in Krishna consciousness, and he was a landowner in Calcutta, Lal Babu. He was such a good devotee of Krishna, and once he went out on a stroll in the street, and he stood at some place, and the street sweeper came and said, "Move over, it's time to move." He was desiring to just sweep the street, so he told to the person who was standing at some place where he wanted to sweep, "Move over." Now, because this person, Lala Babu, had such an interest to know from Krishna whether or not he should leave his home and go to Vrindavan, he could understand how Krishna had empowered the street sweeper to say, move over to Vrindavan. So this you will see in your own life. When your question is very sincere, Lord Krishna can speak through the birds. Do you know that there are three types of gurus? One is our Diksha Guru, who gives us initiation. The other is our Shiksha Guru. Shiksha means who gives us inspiration. But do you know that Shiksha Guru can be also nature? Do you know that Shiksha Guru can be a bird? Let me explain. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained how once there was one very, very great soul, and he said, "I have 24 gurus. One of them is the moon. Listen what I learned from the moon." The moon appears to become thinner and thinner. And the moon also appears to become bigger and bigger. But this is only an outer appearance. The moon is always like he is, the planet in the sky. So in the same way, sometimes a person appears to become thinner and thinner and thinner, and it appears that the person becomes bigger and bigger, especially if he takes ghee sabjis. that he didn't say. Some of you have become bigger. But really, the eternal soul does never change, just like the moon does never change. This is what I learned from the moon. And then he continued and said what he learned from the bee, what he learned from the hawk. Hawk is a particular type of bird. So yes, Krishna can empower even a bird, the moon, or others to give you instructions and to act as your gurus. But you need to be sincere to know the truth. If you are sincere, then you will find the whole world is your guru who speaks to you and who gives you instructions. And if you are not sincere, if you don't want to change, you can run 50 times against a wall and think, when I run the 51st times, then I will go through the wall. Hare Krishna. Welcome to South Africa, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you for greeting me. I pray that this will be the visit of many more visits to our yatra. Thank you. My question is, in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3, I'm not quite sure about the text or text. However, it states that the deities are crying and wanting to run off the altar. Can you exemplify this further? Thank you for your wonderful question. You have written in a very, very artistical handwriting. it's a piece of art. See? So, it is that the deities are crying and wanting to run out, away from the altar. Yes, there is a statement like this, that in Kali Yuga, this is the present age, Arjuna was seeing actually how there were deities who seemed to want to run off the altar, because the atmosphere was just so very bad that it was not like this, where there is a kirtan everywhere. No, it was a very bad atmosphere, and therefore the deities seemed to run away. It's about this incident. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Wonderful, isn't it? This is the kingdom of God. Everywhere you hear the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Good. Out of the topic, I offer food cooked to Krishna, but also prepare cooked meat for the other members of my family. Is my offering of food cooked as vegetables acceptable to Lord Krishna? What a very nice question you have asked. Sometimes our family members are not inclined to eat a vegetarian meal, although it is so much more tasty and nice. Now, at such a time, we should have separate cooking pots in which we only cook for Lord Krishna and offer him this pure food, which is not tainted by the meat from the other cooking pots. And we can offer it to them. And then, if we are a housewife, then we may take care of our husband, who may even be a non-veg. This was done by the sister of Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. She had a husband who was accustomed to non-vegetarian food. And her husband demanded this. So she cooked in a separate kitchen for Lord Krishna in pure pots, and in a different kitchen she cooked for her husband. This is sometimes a situation in which we find ourselves, and it is certainly acceptable. Prabhupada said of all the members of his family, this sister, who was in such an awkward situation, you could say, was the most Krishna conscious. So there is no barrier. It's not such an easy situation. But for the peace at home, try to offer food, and then always give your husband or the members prasad. And as they eat prasad, they will become prasadarians after some time. And say, this tastes much better. You say, yes, 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 it is much better. And meat is the cause of cancer. Better not eat meat as far as I am concerned. But I can continue to cook it, and then you can see so-and-so just died. He was a meat eater. But we can continue to eat this if you want. But why don't you also eat prasadam? It's much good like this. Use your intelligence, but never make a confrontation. In the appearance timeline, Krishna appears after Lord Ram. In fact, he's number 14 or 15 in the line. So how can he be the Supreme Lord? You understand the question? Rama appeared first 5 million years ago and Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. So how can Krishna be the Supreme? Rama was first. My dear devotees, if you consider this world all in all, then Rama was first. But this world is only a speck of dust in the universe. This universe is only a speck of dust in the sum total of all universe. And even the sum total of all universes is just like a small dark cloud on a bright sky. So in the spiritual sky, you will find a gradation of divine abodes. There's the Vaikuntha world, where Lord Vishnu and Narayan is. And in a particular part of the Vaikuntha world, there is the planet of Ayodhya, where Lord Ram is. And above the Vaikuntha world, you will find the planet Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna is. And it is said, in one speck of dust of Goloka Vrindavan, all the Vaikuntha worlds are assembled. Why do we say Lord Krishna is supreme? Well, if you consider Krishna, he is the Rasaraj. He has all types of relationships with his devotees. If a devotee even wants to be the lover of Krishna, that is possible in Goloka Vrindavan. But Ram cannot respond to all these loving dealings of the different women. He said, I only am with one woman, Sita. Lord Krishna, and from him expand all the living beings. And if there are living beings who want to have a loving relation in the conjugal mellow, Madhurya Ras, he invites them. He invites his own parts to enjoy with him in this mellow. That is not possible. Lord Ram will not respond to this desire. Lord Ram will say, well, wait until I appear in my original form as Lord Krishna, and then you can have this type of relationship, the Madhurya Ras. Mm-hmm. So, also, you know, Lord Narayan cannot have anyone who is the parent of Lord Narayan. That's only possible in Ram and in Krishna. So you can find the different gradations because of the different rasas, that is the mellows and the relationships. Mm-hmm. What benefit one will derive when one worships demigods? As I said, we do not worship the demigods, but we will respect them as servants of Lord Krishna. And it is good to be respectful to the servant. The master will sometimes demand this: be respectful to my servants. Someone who, in the name of Ekanti Bhakti, that is exclusive bhakti, starts to offend everyone else, is not accepted by Krishna. It is even said, someone who says, I am the direct servant of Krishna, Krishna says, he's not my devotee. Only someone who says, I'm the devotee of the devotee, the servant of the devotee. But again, this does only lead to us to respect the demigods. Worship, that is exclusively meant for the Lord, for Krishna. Mm-hmm. You have such wonderful questions. I'm really very much inspired. My mother is now deceased, means has died 2 years ago. Her clothing, saris, etc., are in my possession. Is it all right for me to make use of it? Clothing is a necessity. Why should I not use these clothings? When you are poor, then it is good to use the clothing, because you are poor and you have no other arrangement for your clothing. But when you have a decent income, it is good to respect the belongings of your mother. However, if your mother has given you in her will, my daughter should use this golden sari, or this thing, then you can accept because it's the desire of your mother. Generally, however, we feel that if a person has left, then his belongings should be respected and should be just there. We do not use them. But again, if we are very poor and we cannot dress ourselves adequately, then this is a situation. Hare Krishna! This is so nice, every question starts with Hare Krishna. You are so personal. Yes, Hare Krishna back to you. Hare Krishna! Lord Sai is revered by millions as a divine avatar. He has answered many of my prayers. Why doesn't ISKCON recognize him? I must say, I know of three Sais, and it's I do not know to whom you refer, but all the three Sais which I know of, ISKCON is not respecting them as God as such. We very strongly believe that there's only one Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He has different qualities which can never be duplicated by any other powerful yogi or powerful being in this world. For instance, Lord Krishna is the oldest of all personalities. He was there before everyone else. Another quality, Lord Krishna is present in every atom. Imagine, every atom. Krishna can be so small that he enters the atom and makes a walk for 6 hours without reaching the other side of the atom. Hare Krishna. This is something very extraordinary. Krishna is the source of all sources. That is, no other source is behind him. He's knowing everything at every moment at this time, past, present, and future. Lord Krishna, however, is known especially for four qualities. He has a divine flute which enchants the whole universe. It is even said on the physical level, the vibrations which hold the subatomic reality together is only vibrating because of the vibration of Krishna's flute song. Hare Krishna. But more than Krishna's flute song is by no means only a physical reality which is studied in physics. No, his flute song is calling all the devotees to join him in his divine pastimes. The second is Krishna is surrounded by the most extraordinary devotees who bear the most extraordinary love, which is highly intoxicating and the very blissful in their hearts. That's unique to Lord Krishna. The third is his form is so beautiful that it is more enchanting than all the gods of love together. Have you ever seen a beautiful person? I can guarantee you, if now Miss Germany would enter here, I don't know how she looks like. But I can imagine she must be a little beautiful, otherwise she wouldn't be Miss Germany. And she would stand here, you would all go like, but Miss Germany has only a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the God of love. Her power is in Miss Germany's powers is in her eyes. And if a man looks into her eyes, he will feel restless and agitated. No. But this is only a tiny, tiny portion of the God of love. If the God of love would stand here, you would faint just to smell the fragrance which comes flowing from his body would level you on the ground and you would say, hoo, hoo, amore, amore, love, love. Now Lord Krishna's form is so exquisitely beautiful that it is not possible to even look at him. Normally when there is a beauty like Miss Germany's beauty, her most beautiful feature may be her eyes. But in Krishna, all the features of his body are most exquisite, so that you are bewildered. You don't know where to look. It is so overwhelming that you are breathless. Hare Krishna. Yes, this is described. So the last quality of Lord Krishna, which is special to Lord Krishna and Krishna only, is his wonderful mind-enchanting pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are just extraordinary. Once, one gopi found Lord Krishna stealing her butter and she went with Krishna in tow. You know, she pulled Krishna and went to Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, and she said, Yashoda, your son is developing criminal tendencies. He steals. He's the son of a king. Take better care of him. So Yashoda, you have any proof? Yes, here he is. I have brought him. And when Mother Yashoda looked at the boy, and she said, this is not Krishna, this is your boy. The gopi looked, and yes, it was her own son. She felt so embarrassed. She took her son and went home. And as she was going home, Krishna transformed back into Krishna. Syamasunda Krishna with a yellow dhoti, the very restless eyes. And he looked and said, Mother, if the next time when I steal, you catch me and you want to bring me to my Mother Yashoda, then I will really embarrass you, because then I will turn into your husband. You must agree this would be a highly embarrassing situation. Krishna does all these wonderful pastimes which are just so enchanting, and so, you know, he transforms here and there and does things. So this is, Krishna is very special for these four reasons. So, dear Maharaj, Hare Krishna, and let me just look without your notice on my wristwatch. Oops, Until one do, when do we go? One moment. 7:45. Oh, good. Is the next speaker there? Good, then I will quickly take another. Hare Krishna. Please explain what relevance one should attach to spiritual dreams. Is it a projection of our aspirations and desires? Generally, when I awaken after such a dream, I don't experience any symptoms of ecstasy. How should I understand these experiences? May I ask, Yuvan, can you please go and see when the next speaker comes, you give me a sign, because it is highly impolite if I go over my time. But at the same time, I don't want to stop when the next speaker is not there. Or can you look at the... Sorry? You give me a sign, right? Yes, dobro. So what is the relevance of spiritual dreams? Who of you has had a spiritual dream? Kindly raise your hand. Who of you is not sure if the dream which you had was a spiritual dream or maybe something psychological? Please raise your hand. I have such dreams. Once my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was asked about this subject matter, and he gave a very interesting answer. His answer was, when you dream of the spiritual master, he is there. Now, it does happen that when we have a dream of a spiritual master, or maybe of Krishna, of others, that it is mixed with our own psychology. And we see all of a sudden a guru in a, you know, flying over the ocean, or you know, some crazy situation, you know. At such a time, we can see that maybe there was something spiritual, but there was also something material, a mixture of material. I want to tell you a dream which I personally thought was very spiritual. There was one man who is now a devotee. Our next speaker has arrived. Wonderful. I will just tell you this dream. This man wanted to become a devotee. He was convinced. However, he was also deadly attached. Kavichandra Maharaj ki jai. He was also deadly attached to insignificant cigarette smoking. He smoked 3 packages a day. So one night he went to bed and he felt, oh, I would like to so much become a devotee, but I can't smoke 3 packages of cigarettes a day in the temple, even if I do 1 cigarette on the toilet to not be found. This will be an impossible situation, but I want to take spiritual life. So in that night, he had the following dream. Srila Prabhupada appeared to him and gave him a cigarette lighter in his hand. And he thought, oh no, Prabhupada appears to me and tells me I should smoke until I'm dead. I have a Prabhupada cigarette lighter. What should I make out of this? Then as he looked on the cigarette lighter, he found in printed letter, only for incense.
Thank you.
And my dear devotees, I'm not joking, this went so much into his heart, and he developed a shock. He woke up in the midst of the night. He ran to his cupboard where there were cigarette packages. He took the cigarette packages and he threw them into the toilet and disposed of them, and never started to smoke again, and never felt the urge to smoke again, which is a very difficult when you are a chain smoker. Then some urge comes when you stop from one moment to the next. So this was a spiritual dream. Prabhupada was there and helped him. So we will end now here. Thank you very much for being with us. Please stay. The next speaker is coming, our Kavichandra Maharaj. I wish you all the best. And Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj also. Hare Krishna!